affects me because it puts a big impact on what high school I will go to. On behalf of the Radio Roots team, I'm Anna Galman. I am a student at Crossroads.
You've been listening to Free Speech Radio News. I'm Nell Abram.
And I'm speechless. No, that was great. That's great. Nothing like having kids on the air. I just don't think they should have fired the whole Free Speech Radio News team and replaced them with them. But that's me. It's 6 o'clock. This is WUSB Stony Brook. Time for Off the Wall. And we'll start off with some apologies. Apologies to our online listeners because, well, I'm pretty sure you're not listening right now. Our online stream is down. Yeah, it's broken. And we have technicians round the clock looking at it and trying to figure out how to make it work again. So what we're doing, hopefully the tape deck is working. We're recording the show and we'll put it online later. So if you're hearing this online, that means the tape deck does in fact work. That's the best I can do. And if not, then there'll be no record of this show ever. It happens relatively a few times where everything breaks and there's no record of anything. Sometimes that's to our advantage. Anyway, this is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour or so. And, well, let's start off with the Cheech and Chong tribute, actually the Tommy Chong tribute. We're not really paying any attention to Cheech Marin. He's not being prosecuted by the government. He's not in prison. He's got a successful acting career. I don't know if he still talks to Tommy Chong. Hopefully they still get along, because they got along so well together back in the 70s and 80s, whenever they did their thing. So what we're doing is playing a Tommy Chong piece, which happens to include Cheech Marin every time, because they were a team, until he gets released from prison, which will be in early July of this year. His crime, selling bongs on the internet. Yeah. I wonder, 10 years from now, if that's something, when people listen to archives of this show, will they say, yeah, and why wasn't he executed? Or will they say something like, boy, those people were crazy and reactionary back then, and putting people in prison for selling, not even selling drugs, selling bongs. And then imprisoning that guy for talking about bongs on the radio afterwards. What kind of society was that? Well, I don't know. I guess history will judge us. Let me just say to history, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do it. All right, Tommy Chong and Cheech Marin, we'll be back right after this.
Mama, mamacita, donde está Santa Claus? The vato with a bony knees, he's coming down the street with no shoes on his feet, and he's going to... No, that ain't it. Mama, mamacita, donde está Santa Claus? The guy with the hair on his jaws, he... Hey, man, come over here, man. I need some help, man.
Yeah, man, I can dig that. What are you doing, man?
I'm trying to write a song about Santa Claus, man, but it's not coming
about
out.
About who, man?
About Santa Claus, man. You know Santa Claus,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah, man. I played with those dudes, man.
What?
Yeah, last year at the Fillmore, man. Me and
you
the bass player sat in, man.
Oh, hey, session, man, you think man. Santa Claus is a groove, huh? No, it's not a groove, man.
Would they break up, man?
Oh, no, man, it's one guy, man. He had a red suit on, man, with black patent leather shoes. You know the guy, man?
Oh, yeah. He's with Motown, ain't he?
No, man.
Yeah,
he's
I played
not...
with that dude, oh, too, man. No, yeah, he's man. A good singer, man.
No, hold on, man. He's not with Motown, man.
Well, then he's with Buddha, man.
No, Oh, man, you don't know who Santa Claus is, man.
Yeah, well, I'm not from here, man. Like, I'm from Pittsburgh, man. I don't know too many local dudes.
Oh, I see. Well, hey, man, sit back and relax, and I'll tell you the story about Santa Claus, man. Listen, once upon a time, about 5 years ago, there was this groovy dude, and his name was Santa Claus, you know? And he used to live over in the projects with his old lady. And they had a pretty good thing together because his old lady was really fine. And she could cook and all that stuff like that. You know, like she made the best brownies in town, man. Oh, I could remember them now, man. I could eat one of them, man. Wow.
Wow, did you know these people, man?
Oh, yeah, man. They used to live next door to me, you know, until they got kicked out, man.
What, they got kicked out of the projects, man?
Yeah, you know what happened, man? They used to live with all these midgets, you know. And the midgets used to make a lot of noise, you know, like pounding and hammering and pounding all night, man.
Typical freaks.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, man, they were really freaks, man. As a matter of fact, they all moved up north together, you know.
Oh, they have to go get their head together, man.
Yeah, get their head together, man. And they started a commune, you know. It was called the Santa Claus and His Old Lady commune. It was a real famous one up there, man. And they used to sit around and groove all the time, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Really good time, man.
Hey, that sounds heavy.
Yeah, eat the brownies, man, and drink the tea, man. And what they did most of the time, though, was make a lot of goodies, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And they had everything they needed. They only needed to come into town maybe once a year or something like that.
Pick up the welfare check and the food stamp.
Yeah. Man. No, what they did, man, is once a year, when they made all the goodies, you know, they used to put them in a big chopping bag, and then they used to take the chopping bag and deliver them to all the boys and girls all the way around the world, man.
Hey, well, that's it, man.
Yeah,
that sounds real nice.
Oh, yeah, they were really nice people, man. And so much class, man. They had so much class, you know. Like even take the way they used to deliver the toys, you know. It's like Santa Claus used to have this really sharp short, man, you know. It was lowered to the ground at twice pipes, candy apple red, and button tuck. Ooh, clean.
Man, that sounds like a hip snowmobile, man.
No, it wasn't a snowmobile. It was a sled, you know. One of those big sleds, you know? And he used to have it pulled by some reindeers, you know, like reindeers?
Some what, man?
Some reindeers, you know? He used to hook them onto the sled, and then he used to stand up inside the sled and hold onto the reins, and then call out their names, like, on Donner, on Blissen, on Chewy, on Tavo, come on, Beto! And then the reindeers used to take off into the sky and fly across the sky, man.
Man, that's far out, man.
Yeah, and then when they flight across the sky, they used to come down to places like, oh, Chicago, L.A., Nueva York, and Pacoima, and all those places, you know, and then land on top of people's roofs, and then old Santa Claus would make himself real small, you know, like a real small guy, and he'd come down the chimney, and then he would give you all the stuff that he made, man, and dig this, man, he did it all in one night, man.
Hey, just a minute, man. Now, how'd he do that, man?
Oh, well, man, he took the freeway. How else, man?
No, man. How did he do all that other stuff, man? Like, how'd he make himself small, man? And how'd he get the reindeer off the ground, man?
Oh, well, man, he had some magic dust, man.
Some magic dust?
Yeah, magic dust. You know, he used to give a little bit to the reindeer, a little bit to Santa Claus, a little bit more for Santa Claus, a little bit more.
And this would get the reindeer off, man?
Oh, got them off, man. Are you kidding, man? They flew all the way around the world, man.
Hey, that's far out, man. Hey, how come I've never met this dude, man?
Oh, man, he doesn't do that bit anymore, man. It got too dangerous, man.
Yeah, I can dig that, man, because that's a dangerous bit, man.
Yeah, let me tell you, it sure was, man. Like, just 2 years ago, man, he got stopped at the border, you know, and they took him into another room and took off his clothes, man, and searched him and searched his bag of goodies, man. And then when he was leaving, man, he was flying through the air, somebody took a shot at his reindeer, you know?
Oh, that's a drag,
yeah,
man.
It really was, man. And then, man, he went down south, man, and they tried to cut off his hair and his beard, man. And all the time he was getting stopped and pulled over and asked for his ID, man. Just everywhere he went, he ran into too much recession, man.
No, man, you mean he ran into too much repression, man.
Repression, recession, man. It's all the same thing, man.
Yeah, man. It's a drag, man, because we could sure use a dude like that right now.
Yeah. Oh, well, he still comes around, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but he comes in disguises now.
Oh, he went underground.
Yeah, underground, man.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Yeah, but you want to see his disguise, man? Nobody would ever know it was him, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's got a job in front of the department store, ringing this bell and playing this tambourine next to this black pot, you know?
Oh, I seen the dude.
Yeah,
man.
You know who I'm talking about,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, man. I played with that guy last year, man.
What?
Yeah, we played in front of a store, man. We made a lot of
bread. Oh, hey,
man.
Wait a minute, man. Santa Claus is not a musician, man.
I'm hip, man. That cat didn't know any tunes, man.
Oh, hey, wait a minute, man. No, he's not into that at all, man.
No, I played with this dude.
Are you sure, man?
I'm positive.
Okay, there we are. That's this week's Cheech and Chong tribute. Tommy Chong tribute, actually. And, boy, that brings back memories. I remember hearing that on commercial radio way back. You wouldn't hear that now, I don't think. I don't know why. There's nothing particularly objectionable in there, but I guess it doesn't make enough money for the people who play the music. So that's where we are as far as that goes. Tommy Chong released first week of July. I guess we'll have some kind of special tribute for that big event. All right, Off the Wall continues here without the internet this week. Feels so lonely without the internet, doesn't it? Oh well. We'll have to make up for it in other ways. For instance, we have a special announcement that really should be taken seriously. I know we spend a lot of time kidding around here, and that's all fine and good, but there are some things that are serious. And one of those things, I didn't mean to chuckle when I said that, because I really mean that, you know, this should be taken seriously. Almost as seriously as the you know, national color of the week or whatever. And that's, of course, the terrorism from above.
Lightning injuries can lead to permanent disabilities or death. In 20% of lightning strikes, victims die. 70% of the survivors suffer serious long-term effects. Remember, you are in danger from lightning if you can hear thunder. Learn more about lightning safety at www.lightningsafety.noaa.gov. Lightning kills. Play it safe. This message is brought to you by the Iowa High School Athletic Association and your local National Weather Service office.
I hear thunder. Am I in danger? Okay, that's our sound effects department kicking in with an automatic sound effect there, thunder. I guess that means we're in danger at all times from lightning. You know, next week is Lightning Awareness Week. Do you need a week? Hey, it spells law. That's kind of cool. But do you need a week to actually be aware of lightning? I mean, is there a rain awareness week as well? That's, okay, yeah, lightning's dangerous. We know. Boy, I didn't know there was a whole section of the government designed to keep people informed as to what lightning can do. Look at this. There's a whole website, lightningsafety.noaa.gov. And oh, the storm has abated. And I guess our sound effects record is continuing with all kinds of other sound effects. Wonderful. From their website, let's just read a couple of things, because it is important, and this is something that affects people all over the world, not just people in New York, which is who we usually care about. Summer is the peak season for one of the nation's deadliest weather phenomena, lightning. Lightning. Not whatever this is. Safeguarding U.S. residents from dangerous lightning is the goal of this website. Yes, let's make a website and keep people from being struck by lightning. Or sucked up by vacuums. The campaign is designed to lower lightning death and injury rates and America's vulnerability to one of nature's deadliest hazards. And I'm not laughing at people who get struck by lightning. It's just that there are incredibly few people who get struck by lightning, and there's some things you can do to protect yourself against being struck with all that electricity from the heavens. But if your name's on one of those bolts, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do. In the United States, an average of 67 people are killed each year by lightning. In 2003, there were 44 deaths. So I guess there's progress being made. Maybe this website can be held accountable for the lowering of... I have to turn this down. This is just crazy. Don't we have any more thunderstorms or something like that? Something more appropriate? In the United States, an average of, 67 people. Now, this is more than the annual number of people killed by tornadoes or hurricanes. Many more are struck but survive. Oh, yeah, that's much better. I imagine some of them just get scared by the thunder. However, they often report a variety of long-term debilitating symptoms, including memory loss, attention deficits, sleep disorders, numbness, dizziness, stiffness in joints, irritability, fatigue, weakness, muscle spasms, depression, and an inability to sit for long. Yeah, that describes most people I know. That all of that really does. I don't think that anybody I know has been struck by lightning, though. If you've been struck by lightning, though, I would like to know what it was like. You know, if you have the patience to call up on the phone and tell us. But lightning is a serious danger. And there's an entire website devoted to how to protect yourself from being struck by... You know, there's really no way you can prevent yourself from being struck by lightning if lightning is coming down towards you. Best you can do is just, stay inside. But even that isn't a sure thing. People get struck by lightning inside as well. Inside, outside, driving in their cars. About the only place you won't get struck by lightning is on the space station. And I'm sure there's all kinds of other things that can happen to you up there. All right. Have I scared people sufficiently? Because that was the intent here. No? All right, then.
In the event lightning strikes someone near you, take prompt action to save the victim's life. Give first aid immediately and get medical attention as quickly as possible by calling 911. People struck by lightning carry no electrical charge and are not a danger to those providing first aid. Remember, you are in danger from lightning if you can hear thunder. Lightning kills. Play it safe. This message is brought to you by the Iowa High School Athletic Association and your local National Weather Service office.
Did he say the Iowa High School? Wow, that's pretty cool that they care so much to make public service announcements like that and help save people's lives all around the world. All right, if it's raining by you, take cover. If there's thunder and lightning, I don't really know what to do. I'm not sure. Do you wrap yourself in aluminum and stand up on a roof? No? That's not what you're supposed to do? I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, I'm not an expert. It's not like it's common sense or anything like that. There's a whole lot of stories on the website that is kind of frightening that I encourage people to read. Let's look at a couple of them, actually. Jennifer was hit inside on her cellular phone. Yeah. Do we have that story? A survivor story. No, we don't have that story. I'm sorry. But yes, you can get hit while talking on a cellular phone. We have the story, though, of Cheryl, who the storm's gone. Cheryl was also on the telephone, and here's her account. It all started one summer day in June 1999. That year we were having terrible thunderstorms. I was at Walmart when the storm came up, and my daughter and I started home because my husband was putting a swimming pool in for someone, and I wanted to warn him. As I was driving, the lightning was coming straight down for the ground, and it had started hailing along with the rain. I arrived home and forgot my keys, but I made it into the house. I got on the phone and called him. All I had time to say was a thunderstorm was headed this way, and... I'm confused. Oh, he's putting a swimming pool in for somebody else, not for them. Presumably they already had a pool. All right. She called to warn him that a thunderstorm was on the way. You'd think he'd notice, but okay, never mind. Then my daughter, who was 13 years old at the time, heard the big boom. She came running into the living room to say she heard a big boom. The story is very, very not... I guess it's because you got struck by lightning and you also lose the ability to tell a story, clearly. But basically, when the big boom came, that was when she was struck by lightning. She came running into the living room. I told her not to touch me because I know electrical current can travel from one person onto another. And by this time, the current from the lightning hit me in my right ear and ran across my chest and out my left arm. I was worried. My heart would go into an abnormal rhythm because I'm a nurse and I know what electrical shock can do. I was walking, talking, I seemed okay, so I didn't go to the emergency room with my phone now being out and all my electrical outlets in the kitchen. I didn't want an emergency room bill to go along with all that. And then a few weeks after that, I started having petit mal seizures, which I'll have for the rest of my life. I just thank God I'm still here and have a life, because it could have been worse. Could have had some idiot playing trumpets everywhere I go. Now, everyone I meet, I try to do a little education about lightning and what it can do. Okay, but you know what? I'm very sympathetic, Cheryl, but you were standing inside your house. What can you possibly educate people and tell them not to do? You know, there's no lightning barricade that you can keep from getting to you. If you're standing inside, I mean, what, are we going to all run into the cellar now? Every time there's a thunderstorm? Okay, how about Todd's story? On Thursday, July 11th, 1991, Todd was home, inside his garage, repairing the exhaust system of his car. Although Todd was not aware of it at the time, the cirrus anvil of a distant storm was starting to spread overhead, and a dangerous electrical potential was developing between the positively charged anvil cloud and the negatively charged ground. To Todd, who apparently was in a cafeteria or something at the time, the sky appeared to be partly cloudy with no apparent indication of the storm. Lunch is over. Suddenly, lightning struck nearby, traveled in and around the ground, and, after-dinner drinks, thank you, and through the garage floor. Todd was hit as he installed the muffler on the car. Get away. Oh, damn. They're getting bigger. You know, the way the story is written, it makes it sound like there was a thunderstorm, and all of a sudden he said, I got to install a muffler right now. I don't think that's how it played out. Anyway, he was hit as he installed the muffler. The rain from the storm didn't arrive for an estimated 20 to 30 minutes after the lightning strike. Todd suffered burns on the right side of his body and in his throat, and had tremors in his left side immediately after the strike. Fortunately, Todd remained conscious and was able to call for an emergency muffler installer to come and help him. Todd's outward appearance, however, does not begin to show the debilitating injuries that he has suffered and continues to suffer from the lightning strike. No idea how annoying this is. Like many lightning victims, thank God, Todd suffered irreversible nerve damage and has lived in constant pain for the last 10 years. I apologize, Todd, and everybody else who may be as annoyed, distracted, and furious as I am right now. All the distractions going on in the background. It's like standing on a subway platform or something. Except you don't have insects flying into your ears. Despite 15 operations and numerous consultations with specialists, Todd's severe pain continues. He is unable to work, and on some days, he is unable to function due to excruciating pain. Since the incident... You think that's funny? What a creepy laugh that was. Since the incident, Todd also suffers from short-term memory loss and anxiety, not knowing what's going to happen next. Todd was 24 years old at the time of the incident, and now, almost 10 years later, Todd is willing to tell his story in the hopes that other lightning victims will feel some comfort in knowing that they are not alone. What are the odds of those lightning victims, all 44 of them from 2003, hearing this or going to that website or wanting to hear other people tell their stories? And so that people will become more aware of the dangers of lightning and the devastating effects it can have on a person's life. Todd's mother, Carol, is very supportive of Todd in this effort. She finds it difficult to see her son in such pain, as opposed to most mothers who would relish the opportunity to see that. Again, you know, okay, don't install a muffler during a lightning storm. Yeah, okay, fine. Two things we can't do. Good God. All right, apparently I've pissed people off for the last time. Let's play one more of these public service announcements, and then hopefully we can move on to something else.
All thunderstorms produce lightning and are dangerous. Lightning often strikes as far as 10 miles away from any rainfall. Many deaths from lightning occur ahead of the storm. So don't wait until the last minute before seeking shelter. Remember, you are in danger from lightning if you can hear thunder. Learn more about lightning safety at www.lightningsafety.noaa.gov. Lightning kills. Play it safe. This message brought to you by the Iowa High School Athletic Association and your local National Weather Service office.
Get away. Okay, yeah, these are really inappropriate for what we're talking about. Very inappropriate. Nobody listens. All right, a couple more survivor stories, and let's go on to something. Yes, go on to something a bit more relevant. Oh, much better. Much better, thank you. Lightning knocked at the door. Okay, if you hear a knock at the door, I guess that's also a clue that a storm is brewing. All right. I don't hear any lightning here, though. I mean, I don't hear any thunder. And, you know, it's important to dispel the myths, too. Lightning is dangerous, but thunder is not. So if you hear lightning, I mean, if you hear lightning, okay, that's a problem. But if you hear thunder, there's no danger because it's the lightning that's dangerous. And lightning can't strike you in the daytime because you can't see it. I mean, this is all common sense, right? All right. Yeah, I know, I'm going to be blamed for some idiot that gets struck by lightning for listening to me. Okay, who else? Who are unfortunate victims here? We know about Jennifer. Hit on her cellular. I wish I had that story. I'd love to, well, I wouldn't love to find out what happened to her, but I'm just kind of curious, you know, what it's like being on a cellular phone. All right, here's Dave. This is going to be our last story. He's a bass fisherman. He fishes for the bass in the water. And as a bass fishing sportsman, I've had the delight of being able to fish in many bass tournaments here in Central Florida. No, it's not pronounced bass. It's spelled the same way, but it's not pronounced the same way. I've always had fishing in my blood. Starting, that might be a problem. You know, that might be what attracts the lightning. Because, you know, it attracts the fish. Fish are in water. Water conducts electricity. You know, work it out. All right. Fishing has always been more than a sport to me. It's been a way to relieve stress brought on by our normal lives. My story starts on September 10th, a Friday night, as my partner and I usually set out for an evening of fishing at a nearby lake. Both Brian, my partner, and I have been on the lake when the normal thunderstorms move through the Orlando area. We both have always had a deep respect for lightning. And as with most sportsmen, we know when it's best to hit the barn and be safe. Brian and I were at the lake that night only for about a half hour when a storm was moving closer to us. The sky began to get that purple glow, and a mist of rain had started. I told Brian that we needed to stay close to my van, since that night we were fishing on the bank of a canal that fed the lake. We both had made the comment that we didn't want to get fried like a fish. Why did you both make the same comment? Unless it was said at the same time. Okay, fine. But if you're making the same comment, it means you're not listening. All right. As the storm got closer, so did the lightning. Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense, actually. I told Brian it was time to go, and I walked past him on my way back to the van to stow away my gear. But Brian, being the jerk that he is, wanted one more cast. I grabbed my graphite rod and walked back to the edge of the canal, also to get one more cast before leaving, because I don't have a will of my own. I have to follow when somebody leads. And I waded into the water, because I'm a real idiot. And just as I cast my worm to the other side of the canal, lightning hit. Well, it hit me, actually. As it happened, I knew what was going on. I even said, "Hey, Brian, guess what? Lightning is hitting me right as I speak." But I could only think about my family and kids at home. I was wondering if they, too, were being hit by lightning. I laid at the edge of the canal, but still splashed around a bit, waiting for Brian to come help me, which seemed like forever, because he only cares about himself. He leads people into danger, and then he walks away. It's always been like that. But for some reason, I keep following. Anyway, the lake bordered the airport here in Orlando, and Brian started running to a nearby... I'm not finished yet. To a nearby hangar to call for help. I could only wait as I couldn't feel my legs and my arms wouldn't work. I was sure that I wouldn't make it out of the field alive. The thoughts that run through your head are so unreal. Help did come, and so did the storm. By the time the fire rescue showed up, the storm was in full force. Lightning and thunder filled the skies, and it was raining so hard you could not see the other side of the canal 20 feet away. I remember even the firemen that night saying if they didn't get me out soon, they would be the next victim. And they sure as hell were not going to be the next victim. News that the hospital helicopter could not make it to the site. What is this, a cocktail party? Enough, come on. Good Lord. News that the... I'm telling a story here, and there's a cocktail party going on around me. USB staff, you know? Very informal. News that the hospital helicopter could not make it to the site because of the weather made me realize the severity of the situation. I made it to the hospital, spent 30 days in the intensive care burn unit, my body covered with burns over 60% of my body. And while in the hospital, I was given the normal titles, Flash, Superman, and my wife's favorite, Sparky. It's okay with me. I call myself names, too. Anyway, all of us that have spent any time in the water know that sometimes, no matter how bad the weather gets, we have fished in lightning and severe storms. And just getting to the end here, because it really goes on for quite a bit longer. You don't have to be on the lake to get hit from lightning. We know that. We know you can be changing a muffler. You can be in the middle of your house. You can be hit in your own yard, on a bike, or in the playground. It will still find you if you don't follow simple rules. So what's the point of this, then? I mean, it's going to find you no matter what. Anyway, his rule is if you see lightning and can hear the boom before the count of 30... the next place that lightning could hit is right where you're standing. And don't go back outside until there's no lightning strikes for 30 minutes. Can you imagine if everybody did that? Everybody ran inside every time there was a thunderstorm and stayed inside for 30 minutes until after it was over? I'll tell you, you know, I'm not saying in any way that people should embrace lightning or invite it to strike you. Or make light of those people who have had the misfortune of having lightning strike them. But there's only so much you can do about certain things. And it's kind of pointless to worry so much that you significantly alter the way you live. It's a parallel. It's a parallel to what's going on around us in this world with terror alerts and all that kind of thing. For things you can't possibly know, for things you can't possibly change... except for, you know, strokes of luck, walking down one street instead of another. Okay, if you know to do that, great. But if not, agonizing over it is not going to get you anything. All right. Get these kids out of here. Good. All right. Thanks to the sound effects... department we have here at the radio station, and let's move on to more news of the day. Well, you know, last week, first I want to tell you something. I want to tell you what happened to me, because I'm kind of my sleep schedule is all messed up now. Usually it's pretty messed up, but it's really messed up now, and I blame animals for this. All right, now I've had, you know, raccoons break into my house. I've had all kinds of insects annoy the hell out of me for no reason at all, okay? And there's just countless stories, but the one that just happened yesterday really was something else, because it was 8 o'clock in the morning, all right? And that's when I like to go to sleep. 8 o'clock in the morning is a good time to go to sleep. Because, all right, fine, if I have to explain it, the reason is because you get a lot of work done at night when there aren't people and distractions around to annoy and distract you. And you get to not have to worry about heat and humidity when it's hot, and although it hasn't been hot or humid the last few days, but you know it's going to be. So you can sort of ignore all that and then just be around for the comfortable period. There's no lines in stores. The highways aren't crowded with people and idiots, you know, that annoy you. And it sounds like I'm very antisocial, which I am to some degree, but I'm not that antisocial. Sometimes I stay up for the entire day, and then I get to see everybody, and interact. But this was not one of those days. This was a day where I was very tired and I was going to sleep. And all of a sudden, I hear this yapping noise. You know, the kind of annoying yapping dog that when you live in the city, you discover that your next door neighbor has. And it's just yapping constantly when the person is not there. Of course, they're never annoyed by it because they don't hear it. They go to work or school or whatever, and the dog's just yapping and yapping and yapping all day long. I don't know what it thinks it's accomplishing. But it just does that. Never gets tired. Never stops. Never dies. But it just keeps going. All right, well, this was sort of like that, except it wasn't in the city. And it wasn't coming from a next-door neighbor. It was coming from the woods where there wasn't any house. I hear this yapping sound constantly. So I'm trying to drown it out. I turn on a fan. I turn on the TV set. Imagine that, turning on a TV set to drown out the sound of nature. If you can consider a chihuahua bark nature. And so I have this thing on loud, and I can still hear the barking, and it's incessant. It's not stopping, not letting up for breath or anything. I'm like, what in God's name is going on here? who's doing this to me? Why is there a chihuahua barking outside my house, where there is no place for such an animal to exist? And then, all of a sudden, I hear another bark, a deep baritone bark. So now there are two dogs barking outside my house at 8 o'clock in the morning, incessantly. So I do what I have to do. I get dressed, take a big heavy object with me, a flashlight, because you never know when you're dealing with strange dogs in the woods what they might do. And I walk into the forest to see just what in God's name is going on, and I can see. I can see in the distance. Yes, there are two dogs there, one little tiny dog and one really big dog, and they're both bouncing up and down barking. I'm like, what in God's name is going on here? Did somebody come and tie two dogs to a tree and leave? Or these two dogs just decide to have a bark fest for no particular reason at all? And so I walk down a hill to get to these animals to find out just what in God's name is going on. And I see between them this orange patch. And my first thought was that they've cornered or caught a deer or something, which, you know, would be annoying to me because there aren't many deer around here, and it's kind of cool to have them. And I don't like hunters, and I don't like animals that kill other animals that are rare and not seen around here very often. As I got closer, though, I realized it wasn't a deer. It was a cat. It was a big orange cat just there in the woods. And it was alert, but it was still. It was kind of petrified, looking back and forth between these two dogs that were surrounding it, barking. One tiny dog, one big dog. And I guess the cat didn't know where to go. He was just kind of like, you know, looking around. And he was also really, really puffed out. You know how cats get when they are trying to be threatening? They get really, really big. He was all as puffed out as he could possibly get. He had an afro and everything. He was just, you know, nowhere to go, though. And, you know, the little dog keeps yapping. The big dog, though, sees me coming, and he basically turns around, and as if he knows me, he just comes right up to me. And, you know, it kind of reminds me, and I don't mean this in a disparaging way. It reminds me of a cop, all right? I'm not putting cops down, not putting dogs down, not putting anybody down. I'm just saying, you ever watch on, you know, NYPD Blue or something like that, where Sipowicz arrives at the crime scene, and the cop turns and walks up to him and says, okay, here's what we got. Well, that's what this dog did. Turns around and says, okay, here's what we got. We got this cat cornered over here in the woods, and we're just going to bark at him until he does something, and we should have the situation under control in a little while. He comes up to me as if he knows me. I've never seen him before in my life. Accepts a pat on the head and then goes back to what he was doing, which was barking. So I figured, you know, no one's going to believe this, so I wanted to go and get my camera just to capture this special moment because I had no idea how to stop it, how to keep it from continuing all day long. And as I'm going back to get the camera, the little dog starts chasing after me as if he wants to take credit for me leaving. Yeah, I chased him out. That's why I hate those tiny dogs, because they do things like that. The big dog was cool, but the tiny dog, oh boy. So all I did was turn around and take one step towards him. He must have jumped 4 feet in the air in the other direction. Didn't bother me again. I came back with the camera, and I actually made, it's one of these digital cameras that allow you to make movies and things, you know, little tiny handheld cameras. Instantly, you get the picture back. You know, you take pictures in front of kids these days, and they all want to see the picture immediately. They have no conception of film, of things being developed. You know, if you take a picture of a kid and you're taking it with a film camera that has to be sent out to the drugstore and either in 1 hour or 1 week, whatever, the kid's going to demand to see that picture right then and there, and he will not understand if you say, no, it's not developed yet. Will not understand that at all. It's amazing. Now you have these cameras where you can take 1,000 pictures on one card, and good pictures, too. Anyway, so I was taking a movie, and I figured, you know, I'd capture this whole moment of barking and craziness in the woods. And I actually took a couple. And the last one I was doing, as the battery actually was wearing out on the camera, all of a sudden the cat just starts hissing and jumps at the big dog, who jumps back. I jump back. The little dog jumps up in the air, and the cat just takes off. Takes off, and in a bolt of orange, he's gone. And then the other two animals just follow him without saying a word. And that's it. That's the last I saw of them. I'd never seen them before. I would probably never see them since, or again, in the future. And that's just kind of the weird things that happen sometimes in suburbia. Two dogs surrounding a cat. I wonder if they live together. I wonder if they know each other. Where'd they come from? So, yeah, that's why my schedule's all messed up, because of animals in the forest that have nothing better to do than annoy the humans in the houses. Okay. What a reaction we got to all the comments about Ronald Reagan last week. I was shocked. I was shocked. Nobody was upset. I thought people would be calling for my head. People did call for a head in another place. Let's see if we got this this story here. Basically, you know, I just had this story. Now it's gone. I will find it. I will find it. It's the last thing I do. We were talking about Ronald Reagan and his legacy and the bad things that he did, not just the good things he did. And I think it's important to do that. Some people will say, oh, you're not supposed to criticize somebody when they die. Okay, well, you know what? You're not supposed to criticize them when they have Alzheimer's either. You're not supposed to criticize them when they're the president. When do you criticize them? For God's sake. Maybe in 20 years we can make an appointment to criticize Reagan. No, it's a perfect time to criticize him. I'm not saying that I'm celebrating or it's a good thing. Okay, the story has eaten itself. But apparently somebody got thrown off of a college radio station for celebrating the death of Reagan. This is not something that I would condone in any sense. But, boy, I hate it when things disappear like that. Oh, well. Yes, I did watch the funeral. I watched part of it anyway. But the best thing ever was what C-SPAN did. Did anybody watch C-SPAN? C-SPAN actually showed the viewing. You know, for 2 days, people were filing past the casket and just, I guess, spending a second or two with it. Just passing by, paying respects. But for hours and hours, C-SPAN just had a camera fixed in the rotunda of the Capitol as people filed in, and you just saw average people walking by for hours and hours and hours without some stupid commentator telling you what you were seeing. And I thought, that's what America is, you know? That's the kind of thing that people should see. Their fellow citizens, and it might be boring. Okay, fine. You know, TV doesn't always have to be exciting. It's just kind of something that was on the background. And when they went to the aerial shot, though, apparently they had a camera at the very top of the building, pointed down. So you saw these people just filing in and moving around in a circle continuously with this casket with a flag over it, just there. And when you speed that up, oh boy, it really looks kind of weird. But apart from that, the network coverage was just insane. I mean, we had a whole week of tributes, unending. And the weird thing is, nothing else seemed to happen in the world. You know, I mean, I'm sure things were happening in Iraq, but you didn't hear about them. I don't think people in Iraq were sitting back and saying, okay, let's pay tribute to Reagan. I think, you know, things were going on and we just weren't hearing about them because every channel was just fixated on Reagan. I don't know. It's it was a bit too much. But no critiques about daring to criticize Reagan. I think most people understand that. Oh, I found the story. How about that? It was in a different pile. A college disc jockey who put on a radio show celebrating Ronald Reagan's death was fired Friday from his position as the station's business manager. Scott Horniak, a 28-year-old undergraduate student. Interesting. At the University of Alaska. No, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just, you know, interesting, that's all. At the University of Alaska in Fairbanks, had been suspended indefinitely from his disc jockey job at KSUA-FM after the Sunday show. They're firing me because of what I said and the public's reaction to what I said, said Horniak, who goes by the call name Spider Bui, B-U-I. Oh, maybe that's... I don't know. It's a stupid name. Should have been fired for that. H.B. Telling, the station's general manager. What a great name for a station general manager. Hello, I'm H.B. Telling. Oh, wow. Talk about pretentious city up there in Fairbanks. Anyway, H.B. Telling said he could not comment on whether Horniak lost his job because of the broadcast. The university has a policy against discussing personnel issues. No tape of the show was available. But, according to Horniak, he berated Reagan, who died on June 5th, for his foreign policy in Latin America, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and for his response to the AIDS epidemic. I don't think we did anything about Afghanistan. Oh, we did Latin America. I know we didn't do Iraq either, because, you know, there wasn't much going on in Iraq then. Well, there was, but nobody talked about it. Definitely for his response to the AIDS epidemic. Horniak said the show was a celebration that Ronald Reagan was dead, was finally dead, and that he told listeners he wanted to walk over the newly laid dirt on Reagan's grave. That's a bit much. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't celebrate somebody dying. But I certainly wouldn't honor someone who wasn't worthy of being honored. I mean, they talk about putting the guy on money, you know, on coins. Crazy. Was it Jimmy Breslin who suggested that, okay, put him on the $3 bill? I'll support that, maybe. Anyway, Telling said the station received numerous complaints about the show. Telling said Horniak was suspended as a disc jockey solely because of his failure to obey the station's rules, not because of the inflammatory content of the show. He said Horniak did not fill out a log of the songs he played on air and did not play the station's standard disclaimers, announcing that his views did not represent those of the station or the university. Didn't fill out a log of songs. Wow, that's something. Horniak said he did not fill out the logs due to absent-mindedness and that he did not play the disclaimer because he was busy taking song requests that he wasn't writing down. This guy is a walking crime wave, isn't he? Horniak said he was not sure whether he would contest his firing. Well, you know, this guy, he's gotten a lot of press. If this was about not filling out a log, he's gotten national attention for it. So he's a genius as far as that goes. If it wasn't about him being fired for saying the things about Reagan, it was about him not writing down what songs he played. Look at all the attention he's gotten. Pretty unbelievable. Anyway, that kind of thing doesn't happen here. We fill out the logs all the time, and there's no problem. Let's look at some listener mail. Oh, wait. There's one other story that kind of relates to all this. It doesn't relate to this. It relates to stupidity and things like that. Jimmy Kimmels. Is that how you pronounce it? I don't know. I'm not a fan. I don't watch the show, so I don't know. But let's just say his name is Jimmy Kimmel for now. Could be Kimmel. I don't know. His late-night talk show was pulled off the air for a night following a joke the comedian made about Detroit during the NBA Finals. Kimmel was talking to ABC sportscaster Mike Tirico during halftime of Tuesday's game. This is last week. When he said, they're going to burn the city of Detroit down if the Pistons win, and it's not worth it. How is that a joke? What's not worth it? The city? Or burning it down? It's not worth burning down the city. I mean, or maybe saying that they're going to burn down the city is the bad thing. I don't know. ABC made the decision to pull Wednesday night's Jimmy Kimmel live from affiliates nationwide shortly after the program was taped that night in California. Gilchrist, general manager of Detroit ABC affiliate WXYZ, said the taped show featured more disparaging remarks about the city. Oh, come on. Get over it. Get over it, people. Good Lord. Okay, he made some disparaging remarks about Detroit. You don't cut somebody off the air because they make disparaging remarks about a city. I mean, Detroit, come on, let's be honest here, too. Detroit is a hellhole. I've been there. It's horribly sad what's happened there. The city is practically gutted. The auto industry has destroyed that place. I could do a whole show on Detroit. Miserable place. Horrible place. The people are great. I love the people, and that's not the problem. But what's happened to the city is awful. And do you know what $87 billion could have done for that city? The $87 billion we spent to get rid of Saddam Hussein. Yeah, that really worked out well. Oh, speaking of Iraq, this is from our listener Derek down in Florida who discovered this. There's a fact of the day on the White House website. Did you know that? An Iraqi fact of the day. Not just a fact of the day. An Iraqi fact of the day. In fact, right now, the fact of the day is this. Iraqi Natural History Museum receives book donation. Okay, that's a great fact, isn't it? This one gives a book to a museum, and it's a fact on the White House. Previous facts, Iraqis have full control of their oil. Yeah, sure. Iraqis show confidence in country's future. Well, you get the idea. It goes on and on like that. Go to whitehouse.gov/infocus, one word, INFOCUS/Iraq. And you'll see the fact of the day along with a link to the facts of previous days. Okay, what else? Jim Manuel, thanks for all the Tommy Chong tributes. Eric, My Eye was one of my favorites when I was a kid. Me too. That was one of the great ones. Greetings. You raised some justifiable objections with respect to the fact that the casket of Mr. Reagan was sealed during the ceremonies. Looking back, I do think that if one was to have a casket with a dead body and bring it back and forth over thousands of miles for a period extended more than 1 week, having the casket sealed doesn't seem like the worst of ideas. I don't know if you saw the arrival of the casket-carrying plane in California on Friday, but I caught a few live shots on CNN International. What I find particularly disturbing is that they had some close-ups of the crowd meeting the plane, and the flag-waving folks were, for the most part, smiling. Either there was no one meeting the plane and they brought in the wrong close-ups, or these people were genuinely happy. Well, I think people are just happy to be on camera and to be, standing outside waving flags. It's hard to be sad when the guy lived a very long life and the last few years were pretty miserable. So, there's some solemnness to the whole thing, but I don't think screaming and crying and throwing yourself on the casket really is appropriate in this kind of a situation. Kennedy was different. That was sudden. He was young. In any event, this person also raises the prospect that maybe the assassination attempt was successful, covered up, and there was a double assuming Ronald Reagan's identity, and that would be consistent with the curse, which we talked about last week. Sign Bobson, you know? Just when I thought I had finally gotten over this curse thing, now you bring this up, and I don't know. Maybe that is possible now. Thanks a lot. Give me something to think about here. Let's see, what else here? Oh, comments on our Billy Joel song last week. That got more reaction than Ronald Reagan. I was expecting more from this guy. Thanks for playing that Billy Joel song after Off the Wall, because it made me mentally reject the validity of anything he says. I never knew Billy Joel was such a fascist. I'll argue anyone who says that he's a free-thinking person. Signed, Fatale. Well, I think he's a free-thinking person. I think that song, which was Angry Young Man, was a demonstration of his free thought. Basically rejecting people who have thoughts and ideals, but he was expressing his own thoughts and ideals, so it's kind of paradoxical. In any event, it was a great song, and that's why I played it. Just because I like hearing people speak their minds, even if I don't agree with them. Continuing. Oh, and by the way, you can write to us, otw at 2600.com. What's the chance we'll hear Jim Weiner or a call from or to Mike Juhas on Off the Wall? Also, is there any information available on the original Brain Damage theme? Was it mixed and put together by Eric himself? Any chance of putting an MP3 of it available on the site? Thanks for your time, signed Michael. And, of course, that's referring to our other show from years past, Brain Damage, which we put episodes from 1989 to 1995 online. We have 1 year left, 1988. It's really amazing to me how so many people are listening to that show now, years later, probably more than listened to it then, and really digging it. And that makes me really not feel like I wasted any time at this place, which I never really felt like I did anyway. But as far as those people, yeah, those people make appearances here. It's always great to see them. So you never know. You never know when somebody's going to pop in. And as for the theme, well, you know, if we can find a copy of the theme that doesn't have talking over it, we'll certainly put that up. Dear Off the Wall, I just started listening to your station over the internet. Well, not today, you're not, but hopefully in days ahead you will. I just started, I just said that, actually. I live in Belgium, and as such, I am unable to hear you guys live because of the time difference, so I guess it doesn't really matter to you right now. I just wanted to tell you, your program really opened my eyes. Before I started tuning in, it wasn't even worth to be called a script kiddie, and I just wanted to get into servers, but since I heard OTW, I realized I should put my future skills to use for humanity, not against it. Anyway, this isn't really an informative mail, just, at least I hope it is, a bit of support. Signed, Pickle Juice. And I guess that's our cue to leave. Yeah, our time is up. We'll be back again next week. You can write to us, otw at 2600.com. Emmanuel for Off the Wall. Here's a tribute to Reagan. Good night.
Brezhnev took Afghanistan, and Begin took Beirut. Galtieri took the Union Jack, and Maggie, over lunch one day, took a cruiser with all hands, apparently to make him give it back. Take all your overgrown infants away somewhere and build them a home, a little place of their own, the French of memorial home for incurable tyrants and kings. They can appear to themselves every day. Closed circuit TV to make sure they're still real. It's the only connection they feel.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Reagan and Haig, Mr. Begin and friend, Mrs. Thatcher, the Paisley, Mr. Brezhnev and party, the ghost of McCarthy, and the memories of Nixon. And now, adding color, the Belgian, group of anonymous Latin American meatpacking glitterati.
favorite toy. There'll be good girls and boys in the Fletcher Memorial Home for Colonial Wasters. Life and living is everyone.
Hi, this is Avocados. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be...